the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that indwells every believer, that he'd be our teacher and guide and enlighten us so that we might experience what the Bible calls inspiration, that we might understand your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, the question goes clear back to chapter 8 about eating things, eating meat offered unto idols, and then our behavior towards other people. So he's running this clear from chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, and he's mainly focusing on our behavior so that we are not an offense to somebody else. Okay, so we, you know, there's a balance on that. We know truth is offensive by itself, but our conduct. He's dealing with our conduct, and it's not that we have to be all jumpy because people in this day are truly hypersensitive. I mean, just hypersensitive. Was it a Florida governor said something about we need don't monkey something up, and his opponent's a black guy, and they're just going ballistic. Even though Obama said in 2008 that we ought not monkey things up. Of course, you know, he's probably talking about his past. But, okay, so, I mean, people nowadays are just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, but still in our personal relationships, say in church, in a church family, in your own family, we try to recognize that our behavior or our words, that we want to not be offensive with our words, with our behavior. And the thing is people got to talk to each other back and forth. Okay, and there's times where if somebody on a job or somebody is verbally abusive, bossy, or just downright degrading, berating, and things like that, tell them. Don't let them get away with it. Set up boundaries. Husband and wife, set up boundaries, verbal boundaries. And people need to learn to talk kindly, with respect towards another. Okay, and so that's what he's dealing with. Okay, so far we got down to 20, 21, 22. He's talking about God will not fellowship with devils. And one way we provoke the Lord, provoke him to jealousy in verse 22, the question, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy or we're stronger than he, is idolatry. Okay, idolatry is how the devil marks his territory. The devil is like a dog, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And just like a dog, you take it out on a walk, it's got to find a pole or a tree to mark its territory. And so the devil does that all the time. You see it in cemeteries, the obelisk. You see it in a Capitol building. Okay, you see it in symbols of major corporations. The devil's marking his territory. You see it in enigmas. You see it in flags. You see it everywhere. You see it in military medals. In the military medals, you'll see the devil's mark in his territory. It's everywhere, okay? And people are not conscious of these things, and they don't realize that the god of this world, the god of this world is the devil. The Lord has delegated that way, okay? And so we need to recognize that, not that we're jumpy, not that we're concerned about things, because we know the Lord's the greatest of all. Verse 23, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay, so that's, again, dealing with our character. We may have liberties in some areas, but we don't need to exercise those liberties. Okay, an example is, obviously, you don't have to close your eyes when you pray. Okay, so but yet, if somebody thinks that important and you're peeking and they caught you peeking, you know, okay, bow your head and close your eyes. Not a big deal, okay, but still we are conscious about those things and we do the best we can not to be offensive of somebody. The next verse is a great verse for a thief to justify a thief breaking and entering if you pull it out of its context. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Of course, so that's what they're doing. Like the thief in court said, Judge, I had a Bible reason to do what I did. The Bible says, let him that stole. Well, the rest of the verse says no more. He forgot that part. Okay, but in this context, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, is we are thinking or considerate of other people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. I think this one, Brother Ben Smoker preached a message on being a servant, an attitude of a servant, not just serving, but having the attitude of a servant. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, even on the cross, considered his own mother. We look down to John the Apostle and said, now you're going to take care of Mama. Okay, and so the Lord's that way, always will be that way. And we need to be that way. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever sold in a shambles, okay, that's one of those verses that the New Bible people are going to jump all over and say how bad it is and how, you know, terrible it is. It's archaic. But does that verse affect any doctrine of the Bible? Done it all, but... And in America, you don't know what shambles is referring to because the stores here are more organized, unless you're old enough to know. Anybody remember Fetless up in Valpo? Okay, that was the shambles. Yeah, it was a good place to go. Dig through everything, you find something that's about 10 years old. Okay, but in other cultures, and you go to their meat markets, you talk about the shambles. Okay, where in other cultures, they will put the entire, I remember in Spain, you got the whole rabbit there. Just the skin off, but the head, everything, the rabbit, there's the rabbit. Okay, where, or in some cultures, they got the live chicken there. If you want it, we'll just take it out back and whack it, and then you got it and take it home with you. Or they just take it home with them. Americans need to do that. Americans think they're so cultured, you know, the grocery store, you know. Yeah, they need to get a part of that. But shambles here is a meat market. Whatsoever sold in the shambles, so it's not hard to figure out. Okay, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay, and it's good that it says the earth is the Lord, not the sun. God's focus is on the earth, not the sun. Sun worshippers focuses on the sun, and they glorify the sun, okay? And in the Bible, God is interested in what's going on earth. He's not interested in what's going on in the sun. So what's going on earth is important to God as he's looking down on the inhabitants. So that's Psalm 24, I think that's where that's found in the Old Testament. And then he brings that idea up again. For the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular, the heaven, and the earth. So that's Genesis 1, and then something happened to it. So you got a big gap in there, maybe 1,000, 2,000 years. Earth got flooded, and then he started it again. Okay, so that's Genesis 1, 3, and following. So the fullness thereof, okay, so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's why he told Adam, now anybody that reads through Genesis 9 where you see the command to Noah, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Okay, that's not hard to understand. Fill it up again, Noah. He said the same thing to Adam. That's one of those King James advanced revelations. Okay, where it's tougher to get that out of Hebrew, you get that out of the English, because there was something here on this earth before Adam. Okay, and then that gets into, I think it gets into the old adage or the old city that people talk about as Atlantis. I think it was that. I think that would have been the kingdom of Lucifer. And that's what the Atlantic Ocean is named after, Atlanta, Georgia, and so forth, so on. But the Lord created the earth to be inhabited, according to Isaiah 45. And so, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, okay, so you're at the feast, you're sitting down. If any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Now, you've got liberty. Go ahead and eat. But in this context, that person has made that statement. So we're going to consider that statement. And he says, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's not something like we always have to be looking over our shoulder, trying not to be offensive to somebody, trying to be all good. It's when we are alerted to something, and the Lord will alert you to it, and then we're conscious about it. So our desire is to please the Lord, but yet we want to be a help and a blessing to others, okay? And we're not compromising in the process at all. So when that person brings it up, then we respond to it. Okay, we respond to something like that. He says conscience. And of course, over and over and over, he'll say the word conscience. I say not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Okay, the idea of evil spoken of in Romans 14, he says, let not your good be evil spoken of. So in that context, Romans 14 is dealing with our individual beliefs, what we personally believe about some things. Okay, well, we're not going to bat 1,000. None of us are going to bat 1,000. Even husband and wife, we're not going to bat 1,000, agree 100% on everything. Not going to happen. But hopefully we got the maturity to recognize, okay, this is a major thing, and so we're going to stick around with that, okay? And we can recognize these are our agreements, and this is where we have a different taste, maybe in beliefs, food for thought, okay? No problem. If we want to talk about it, fine and dandy, but no reason to get all emotional about it. That's the whole idea today now, a race card. When anger goes up, brain goes down. I mean, this is just nothing but a bunch of left-wing liberal pablum puke that they're trying to cram down our throats, trying to give somebody special favors. It's never equality. Equality is not the goal. Special privileges is the goal. And so that's what's going on, and that's why our society is a hypersensitive society, and that is a sign to a believer, that's a sign that we're getting closer to the coming of Christ. Because Matthew 24, verse 10, 11, one of the answers to the question the apostles had, what is the sign of that coming? And he said, many are going to be offended. Boy, is that not true in these days? Many are offended. And so that is a sign of man is madly in love with himself. And that's another sign of the end days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, men shall be lovers of them own selves. And, you know, if you talk to people and you hear a person, like a Polish person, tell a Polak joke, I admire that person. They can laugh about that. I'm Dutch, I tell Dutch jokes once in a while. Okay? We can laugh about that. When somebody like the news media is so hypersensitive, you almost want to tell another one just to watch their ballistic behavior. It's almost, but you know, sometimes you kind of throw that out there. And that's the thing is when we do it, I went down to Purdue, I got this one sign, I had about four or five signs where on one side something about evolution, evolution's fake science, evolution is a laughable fairy tale. Boy, that one got them. Boy, I got a reaction probably about 3 minutes on that one. And what happened is you're kicking their God. It is a laughable fairy tale. Hey, if they're going to laugh at Jesus Christ, I'm going to laugh at Darwin. They mock Jesus Christ all the time. And so we're going to laugh at their God. It is non-scientific. Okay, and these people are just, you know, they are blindly following a religion, not knowing it's a religion. And the reason why is they want to be their own God. That's the goal. They want to be their own God. Okay, so he says, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, within this context, it's talking about eating and drinking things offered unto idols, not being offensive towards another. We can take that into the eating and drinking realm of what we put in our body and recognize that Daniel's diet that he had in Daniel chapter 1 became a testimony to Melzar and became a testimony to others. So it is important. Okay, we are responsible about what we put in our body. And so many people trust that, all natural, all this or all that. Yeah, right, uh-huh. Okay, you know, kosher, it's kosher. You go down to the dairy farms down here, and the guys that drive the big tanker trucks and get the milk, okay, and one of those guys is a friend of ours, and he did that for a while. You know what the difference between kosher milk and regular milk is? A Jewish rabbi prayed over the truck and gets paid for it. That's the only difference. So somehow he magically, like a Roman Catholic can magically make a cracker turn into bread, a Jewish rabbi can turn an entire truck full of milk kosher. Fascinating. Man, need to have somebody like that pray over our food all the time. Kosher. I wonder if he can make pork kosher. When we were in the hospital in Israel, you know, I'd go down to a place, try to get a sandwich, and my first thought was, I wonder if this is pork. And then I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is Israel. Didn't have to worry about that. Okay, and so a magical thing. And, you know, those the Jewish rabbis, they control the streets and the businesses of Jerusalem like the mafia. And if a Jewish merchant doesn't comply with the rabbis, they will destroy their business. And they got to pay them. They got to pay them fees. So it's like the mafia. Even though the mafia is 99.9% Catholic, which the media never says, the Jews got their own mafia. Okay, that's verse 31. Verse 32 is spiritually speaking, three different categories of people in the Bible. Now, naturally, we see we have different races. And what really reveals the difference between races is their music. Okay, and the lowest common denominator of music, whenever you cram the races together, you always have to have the lowest common denominator, so nobody gets offended. The lowest common denominator of all music is African music. And so that's why the world's music is African. That's why the Christian music is African. African beat. Okay? And that's country music today is nothing more than soft rock of my day. It's no different. Okay? And so the lowest common denominator will be African music. That's the music that the Antichrist will use to unite the world. Your music is a universal language. And the devil, as the anointed cherub, knows how to use music. Our governing structures know how to use music, where they know what sounds they could actually blare over a loudspeaker, and they can dispel an entire riot by the sounds and by the music. They know what sounds and music they could play that cause people to urinate themselves and then have to get out of there. They've got this down to a science. They practice some of this years ago, and Americans have forgotten totally about the Branch Davidians. Totally forgotten about Waco. Okay, where John or Janet Reno, more like John Reno, her high school yearbook was John Reno, okay, but where they gassed and killed 26 children before they torched that entire place. And they were practicing sleep deprivation. They were putting music and noise all through the night, and all the time, 26 little children were suffering as they went through that whole process. And all they had to do, Koresh, sure, he was probably a cross between JW, Seventh-day Adventist, this, you know, it's a little goofy in some of his beliefs. All they had to do was pick him up when he was jogging down the street. That's all they had to do. Okay, but that was a test. Okay, and just like many false flags we have on our country, okay, and the ones at the top just go off scot-free. If you go back to one of the first ones, there's the first one was a guy named Carl somebody, I forget his name, out of Kansas, but the next one was a fellow named Randy Weaver in Idaho. And Randy Weaver's wife and one-year-old child was being held, and a sharpshooter shot and killed her and the child. And then in court, she was charged with murder and the child was charged with murder. That really makes sense. But the guy that was botched that, quote, supposedly botched that, got promoted, and he was over the Branch Davidian day. Same clown. And it just keeps being brought under the rug. About several years later, Randy Weaver won a lawsuit against the government, won a $3 million suit on that. But what good does that do? Your wife's dead and gone. And so that's all the stuff in the past, and that's the hypersensitive stuff. That's the wickedness that the elite is getting away with, but the Lord is keeping track of everything. So in verse 32, he gives your three basic people as far as God is concerned. Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. So again, the context, give none offense. So we are being trying to be cautious about our behavior, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. So Church of God, unless we can use the word Christian on that, okay? But even at that, body of Christ, New Testament church, those are the three distinctions. Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Now, when you got the races, you've got all sorts of different races. But as far as God is concerned, spiritually, when he's looking at a person spiritually, if that is a Jew, that is a lost individual. If that is a Gentile, that is a lost individual. And that would be a Church of God, that is somebody who's saved. Okay, so that's why in Galatians it was reported that Bill Clinton took the oath of office, he had the Bible open, had his finger on Galatians, I think it's 3:28, where it says there's neither male nor female. I think Hillary probably told him to do that. Okay, and so forth. It says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to put unisex bathrooms up. Okay? Naturally, we have our distinctions. And the thing is we don't put aside our differences. We understand our differences. We don't put them aside. We laugh about them. Hopefully, we can laugh about our differences. Okay, but we don't put them aside, we just simply understand them. Men understand the differences about women. Where she can say, I love you, 5 minutes apart, and both times, one time say, I love you, and I hate you, and mean it both times. Okay, but we don't, men, that don't compute with our mind. Okay, but when a child's hurt, who does the child go to? Not him. He's not a good comforter. Okay, so we just simply understand our differences. We appreciate our differences. Now, wouldn't life be a drag if everybody was the same? So we appreciate the differences of the cultures. Okay, when missionaries go into other culture, hopefully they learn the culture and hopefully they don't try to Americanize the people. Brother David Robertson, very wise on this, in Malawi. And somebody stole a bicycle. And so the Malawians, they took care of it. They just caught the guy and beat the snot out of him. And he just sat there and watched it. It's culture. Let them take care of it. Just hope they're on my side. Okay, so that's their culture. Okay, and different cultures do different things. It's kind of funny. There's a teaching now that some Baptists are teaching that the church is Israel. Okay, so they're saying that they're Israel. What are they confessing when they say they're Israel? They're saying they're lost. Why would you want to be Israel? I'm in the church of God. I'm saved. I'm in the bride of Christ. When a Baptist guy wants to go into the tribulation and said the church is Israel, have a good time, pal. You're making a silly confession that you're a lost man. You're not Israel. You're not a Gentile. You're in the church of God. Okay, now, naturally we are. Okay, so those are the three recipients of the Bible. So the Bible is written to cover at least 7,000 years of history. And when you read through your Bible, you ask yourself, who's addressing this to? Jews? Is this Gentiles? Is this to the church? Is this to everybody? Is this the men? Is this the women? Okay, you continually ask yourself, is this person doing the talking? Okay, who's doing the talking? You see, the Bible records lies. Lies are given by the inspiration of God. Satan lied during the temptation, and the lie is exactly as God wanted it recorded. So we can learn what a satanic translation is. And so when we understand that, we rightly divide the Bible, that's where people mess up so much Bible doctrine is because they don't ask themselves these questions. So in verse 32, those are the three groups that the Bible is given to. Three distinct groups. Then it says, even as I please all men in all things. Now he's not running around trying to make everybody happy. He's trying to follow the Lord's leading so that he's not an offense to somebody. He tries to find an agreement in order to influence somebody, but if you can't, you just move forward. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Okay, Paul is not telling us that you go to the bar, sit down with a guy, have a beer with him, and order witness to him. He's not telling us to do that. He's telling us that you try to make a common agreement with somebody, something in common, so that you can witness to them. Okay, so that's what Paul is telling us to do. Be careful about our conduct. Then he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So the Bible will tell us and teaches us that as long as you can travel on the same road with a person, do it. There's nothing wrong with following a man if he's on the right path. Now, often what people who are cultists, and what is a cult? You know, people often say, oh, that's a cult. Well, what is a cult? Define it for me. And this, a lot of times when you talk to people, oh, you're racist. Well, define the term. What is that? I've been told, you're a Ruckmanite. I said, what's that? And then they give a definition. I said, is that your definition of a Ruckmanite? Yes, it is. I said, then that's not me. Now, if they say a Ruckmanite believes the Bible like Ruckman, okay, then I'll take that tag. No problem. Okay, but a lot of times insecure people that want to be followed, they want to, people to look up to them like a Diotrephes, they will throw the charge of a heretic or a cultist on somebody. So the Pope, years ago, was intimidated, was bothered that Martin Luther, one man, Martin Luther was causing a dent in Catholicism. One man. How could one man do that? And so the people started listening to Martin Luther, and so they called him Lutherans. Oh, okay, then your people, are they Popeites? What are they? Catholics? Holy given over to the cat? Yeah, that's what they are. Okay, and then there were some called the Mennonites. That was named after Menno Simons. Okay, and then, yeah, and you keep coming through the line, you know, Ruckmanites or whatever. It is not wrong to follow a man on the right path as long as you can. Nothing wrong with that. Paul said, be followers of me even as I am of Christ. Okay, now Paul's following Christ, but we know that Paul was revealed by God to make some adjustments. And so Paul is a standard for us. He also said in Ephesians 5:1, be followers of God as dear children. He also said in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, the same idea, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. So it's like a lot of times a new believer, they need to be looking up to somebody. Okay, but then we want to also get them to focus their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, a lot of times the liberals, the left-wing liberals, I find it interesting, the left-wing liberals in our culture cannot maintain and sustain a talk radio program. They can't do it. I mean, Limbaugh's been at it for 30 years. I remember I first started listening to him in a tractor in 1989. He was started in 87. Back then, he had a Mike Tyson impersonator introduced the program. Does anybody remember that? The following program is salutable. It was hilarious. That was just downright here. Any pinko tea communist can watch. He's tamed a lot of things down. Has anybody ever heard him describe a caller abortion? Anybody hear? He hadn't done that for years. How do you abort a telephone call? And he's likening it as an analogy to a regular abortion. It is a fascinating analogy. If you get his book, I Told You So. He's got two books, I Told You So, and I forget the other one. He describes a caller abortion. He doesn't do that one anymore. I mean, he was a lot better years ago. He's gotten too tamed down, I guess. But you don't hear left-wing guys. Jesse Jackson couldn't do a radio program. Why? They don't have original thoughts. They don't study. They don't think. They just regurgitate the same garbage over and over and over again. They think they're open-minded and broad-minded, and they can't maintain a radio broadcast. Okay? It's on the conservative side that's maintaining these things. Okay, verse 2, he says, now I praise you, brethren, that remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, an insecure man is going to jump all over that. He's going to make his wife memorize that. He's going to get that one phrase memorized, and he's going to cram that down her throat. The head of the woman's the man. Yeah, too bad the head's empty, and so forth and so on. Notice there's a context here, and there's a line a person's got to really consider these things through. There's a fella in Canada that's been a clinical psychologist that has been really stirring him up there. It's pretty good. And I don't know if he's a saved man or not, but boy, he's a good thinker. He's a deep thinker. And Jordan Peterson's his name. And he wrote a book, 12 Things to Live By, or something like that. And in one chapter, the first chapter is about lobsters. It talks about a hierarchy. Okay, so we know in the Bible that there is a hierarchy. Okay, we know in the home there's a hierarchy. We know in sports, in a team, there's a hierarchy. Okay, in school, there's got to be a hierarchy. But there's a constant struggle between an abusive hierarchy and the person here. And that's the continual struggle. Now, the people down here say, we don't want anarchists. We're anarchists. I've talked to anarchists down at Purdue. I said, what's an anarchist? He described it. I said, you're not an anarchist. You don't even know what an anarchist is. Anarchist is somebody who says, no rules for anything. They believe in rules. It's just a matter of where you're going to believe it. Okay? And so there's a constant struggle. You can't get away from a hierarchy. And even if there's a church out in Pennsylvania where they want to get away from one pastor so they have multiple pastors. Who was it? John MacArthur kind of does that. All these different MacArthur's in charge. Don't kid yourself. When you have multiple heads, there's going to be one that rises up and takes control or leadership. Depends on the person's character. And so in this context, Jesus Christ said, God is the head of Jesus Christ. But then the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and says, He and the Father are one. And He says that we're equal. Okay, and then it says the husband is the head of the wife. But yet then He turns around, if we use that same analogy, He also says to the man in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another. There's things a man needs to submit to his wife. Okay, in our household, where the furniture goes, that's up to my wife. I don't care where it's at. Let her choose where she wants to put things. Okay, and if she wants to put it right in the front door, hey, it's only one step to the couch. I don't care. A lot of times people fussing about the dumbest things. Let somebody else take care of those things. Why are we fussing about all this stuff? Okay, submitting yourselves one to another. Okay, in the play, I'm up in the sound booth. Who's in charge? My wife is. So I submit to her. I might grumble a couple times when I have to. But I submit to that. Why? She fired me after the first play. I had four lines and I forgot two. And so I don't blame her. The four lines was death to me. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather be up there where I could read along with everybody else. Okay? Years ago, I decided to take piano lessons. I wasn't her worst student. I think Kay and Milt were. Okay? But I was probably third. And so, obviously, in the music, she knows music much better than I do, so I yield to her wisdom. Okay? And a secure leader is somebody who will ask people their ideas. Okay? A pastor that always talks about pastoral authority, I see an insecure person. I see that's an insecure person, and you ought to allow people, okay, their ideas and listen to their ideas. Now, I recognize that some folks give too many ideas, and I've learned through the years how to handle those. You know, one down at Rensselaer kind of all these years try to give me ideas, and I just say, that's a good idea. Walk away and forget about it. Okay, and so you want to allow people the liberty? So Christ, yeah, there's a hierarchy of God the Father, God the Son, but yet they are one. Okay, in the home there is a hierarchy, okay, between the husband and wife, but yet they're one in Christ. So there's a balance in there, and it's hard to stay on balance. When I was a kid, we was part of the 4-H, you know, we had hogs, you know, and my cousins, they had, you know, the whole line was Hoffman's, you know, Tom, Doug, Ronnie, Joanne, Janet, me, and all these pigs. But yet we had fences in there. It's in Lake County. Lake County hardly has any animals anymore. City folks are overtaking it. You got to come down to Jasper County and enjoy their fair. It's only 10 minutes. You only go through the whole fair in 10 minutes. But when we was in that fair, they had the gates, the squared gates and everything, the fences, and we'd try to walk those. It's hard to stay in balance. It's tough to stay in, but you do the best you can. Now, if you take a 2x4, a good straight 2x4, put it on edge, you can walk it, but it's hard to stay in balance. But if you put a crooked 2x4 and an IV, you ain't going to walk it. And so you want something straight to be able to walk on. So in leadership, in a hierarchy, there's a balance. There's a balance. In our country, in our governing structure, because the people had fled from Europe and they fled the tyranny of a king, so when they came here and they fled the tyranny of a pope, so a religious tyrant and a political tyrant, and when they came here and set things up, they made three different branches to watch out for each other. Okay, and that was the plan. Where they got that idea is found in Isaiah 33, verse 22. The early people in our country were Bible readers. Isaiah 33, 22 is where they came up with this idea. But unfortunately, they don't follow this much anymore. So he says, "For the Lord is our judge." So that would be the judicial branch. "The Lord is our lawgiver." That's the legislative branch. "The Lord is our king. He will save us." That's the executive branch. So if it's done proper, when a lawyer becomes a senator or a congressman is in the legislative branch, if it's done proper, they must give up their law practice, because that would be in the judicial branch. But they don't. Why? Because many of the courts they've pulled under the legislative branch, which are fake courts. That's the trick they've pulled on Americans. So in our country, they didn't trust the king. They didn't trust somebody to have absolute monarchy. Now, of course, there's going to be a day coming soon that we're going to have an absolute monarch. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show how it's to be done right. So in our country, that was a good starter, but unfortunately, they've gone away from it. So there is a hierarchy, but then the ones, shall we say, in the lower part of the hierarchy wants to try to keep that balance. So on the left-wing liberals, they're mainly on this lower side they want to be top dogs, is what they want to be. Okay, and they don't like it when somebody's at the top, they don't like. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Are we covered?